Hello, respective viewers. So here I am remembering the 30th anniversary of the death of Dzhokhar Dudayev. Assassination, some people would call it. Now, many of my viewers won't know who Dzhokhar Musayevich Dudayev was, although that wasn't even his birth name, but you're even less likely to know by that one. So he was the president of the Chechen Republic of Ichkeria, so the first president of Chechnya. And he helped proclaim Chechen independence, and he was also briefly prime minister until he was killed, 4.5 years later by the Russian forces. Remember, Chechnya was effectively independent in the very early post-Soviet years. So he's born in Chechnya in 1944, and so the Second World War was raging. Even though the Germans had been pushed back out of Soviet territory by that stage, then the entire Chechen community was taken by the Soviet secret police, loaded onto cattle trucks, and sent for a week or two to Kazakhstan and Siberia in inhumane conditions in a brutally cold winter, minus 22 degrees Celsius easily. So a lot of babies died, a lot of elderly people died, a lot of people who were in poor health died. No heating on these trains, cattle trucks, think about it. It's just a wooden box, really. So there is no heating, there are no chairs, get water maybe every other day, having to defecate in an empty bucket, and it's there with you, no medical conditions. So it's grossly inhumane. It's one of the atrocities committed by the Allied side in the Second World War, an atrocity which is virtually unknown in the Western world. So one third of all Chechen people murdered in that. One third. Just think, one third of Jews were murdered by the Third Reich, and we never stopped talking about it. And maybe we shouldn't, but the genocide against the Chechen people by the Soviet government is virtually unacknowledged. So they weren't directly killed, were they indirectly killed, and then dumped in the Kazakh steppe, having to live there, deracinated, their language, their culture, firmly discouraged. And 13 years later, long after the danger from Germany had passed, Nikita Khrushchev decided they would be allowed to return home to Chechnya. So 1957, they went back. Anyway, so he was a native speaker of Russian as well as Chechen. And then he joined this, studied electronics. And electronics is almost a pioneering field in the Soviet Union. Remember, a lot of people didn't have electricity in the 1960s, would even say most. And he was a member of the Communist Party, which obviously is completely against Chechen independence. Did he grow up and believe in Chechen independence? It was dangerous to breathe a word about it. But anyway, he had gone to the Gagarin Air Force Academy. He eventually rose to be an Air Force general. So he married Alia, a woman who was ethnically Russian, and he had children with her. So it was surprising that someone of his ethnicity was promoted so high to major general. Anyway, so he indeed was awarded various medals and so on. All right, so far, so conventional. And he said that he was a practicing Muslim, which was very much disapproved of. And you think you wouldn't get much promotion because only atheists are supposed to be allowed into the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. At one stage, people even had to give a declaration of atheism to be allowed to join. And all military officers were required to be members of the Communist Party. All right. So then he was in Estonia towards the end of the Soviet period. And in 1990, the Red military told him to use force to close down Estonian television and the Estonian parliament because they were calling for independence. And he disobeyed orders. Remember that it was dinned into them, blind obedience, no matter what. He was not going to use force. He was not going to kill unarmed people who were exercising their rights that were conferred on them by the Soviet constitution of 1977. And indeed, he left the Soviet military to face a very uncertain future. He could have carried on feather his own nest. So you think he was virtually unemployable. So he went back to Grozny, the capital of Chechnya, and he threw himself into local politics, joining the All National Congress of Chechen People, as opposed to the Communist Party he'd previously been in, demanding independence for Chechnya. Now, Chechnya was an autonomous republic of the Russian Soviet Federative Socialist Republic. So there are three levels. There's a Soviet Union, within that 15 Union republics, of which Russia was one. And within Russia, there was an autonomous republic, Chechnya, which had minimal autonomy. And there was no rhyme to reason why some entities were Union republics and some were autonomous republics. But anyway, so that was it. Partly was maybe some oil and gas there. All right. So there was the August coup in 1991, the attempt to roll back the reforms and to bring back Stalinism, which was defeated. Okay, and after that, Union Republics declared independence very, very quickly: Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, and several more. And it was no exception there. So a referendum was held in October 1991, and most people in Chechnya voted for independence. I don't know anyone who disputes the validity of that poll. And then he was president of the Chechen Republic of Ichkeria, and he declared, you know, the country's absolute independence. Now, so what was going to happen? Boris Yeltsin, who was then the president of the Russian Federation, said, "No, you don't send troops." But anyway, they backed down. No force was used. Russia didn't recognize Chechen independence, but neither did it try and stop it at this stage, more than verbally. Okay, so it was recognized by Georgia, for example, under Zviadgam Sakhurdia. Zviadgam Sakhurdia had been a dissident in the Soviet era. He'd been in jail for his writings and so on. So that was it. So far, it didn't seem to be terribly problematic. But anyway, formally, it was still part of the Russian Federation, so it was recognized. Anyway, war began in 1994 when Russia started bombing Grozny and invaded and so on. That went so badly for Russia that within a year and a half they were defeated and they had to leave. But one thing is, before they were defeated, they managed to kill Dudayev using laser-guided missiles. So Dudayev was fairly secular, but he's still honored by people, and there are people in Ukraine who regard him as a hero, and some of the Chechens who want Chechen independence there, the Dudayevs. And it went from him as fairly secular, and the other guy, Zemil Khan, I don't remember, is it Zakharov? I can't remember his surname, who was an actor who then became president for a while. And remember that Ahmed Kadyrov and Ramazan Kadyrov were on his side. They were nationalists too. And then then these apartment block bombings in Russia that Putin ordered, murdering 200 Russian civilians, which he falsely blamed on the Chechens, restarted the conflict in 1999. And then he got the Kadyrovs to change sides. So Ahmed Kadyrov and his son Ramazan Kadyrov came over, and they poached him, Kurtan gamekeeper. So, and Grozny was bombed to bits, the most bombed city in the world. There were many atrocities by the Russian army. There were massacres of civilians. No, rounding them up, knowing they'd be civilians, men, women, and children, totally unarmed, and gunning them down. The wide-scale torture of Chechen men on the basis that they might be separatist fighters. So Dzhokhar Dudayev, he's a hero to some people. Russia calls him a terrorist, but I mean, obviously the Russian Federation, I mean, was certainly not very free now. It was fairly free in the 90s, though. Does Chechnya have the right to independence or not? I mean, it's questionable. It was an independent country. It became part of the Russian Empire and then the Soviet Union without the agreement of the people. You could say they're simply reclaiming their sovereign independence. I don't have an opinion upon it. So now it's obviously firmly under Putin's grip, but he's got his local, Caucasian wild man, absolute monster, Ramazan Kadyrov there, committing paedophilia against Russian law, marrying 14-year-old girls. But that's A-OK, according to Putin, so long as he keeps order there, murdering gay men and so on. So it's a monstrous situation. And actually, it's a Shariat state. Was under Dudayev, it wasn't. And Anna's successors were secular nationalists. And Russia would always try to depict them as being Islamists, but that's not true when Putin has got his Islamic fundamentalists running the show at the moment. So not saying that everything was done by Dudayev's side was good, some of it was bad. And there would have been some, you know, kidnappings and so on. Were there terrorist bombings in Russia? Probably, which is obviously despicable. But that terrorism is trifling compared to the terrorism of the Russian state against the Chechen people. Some of them decided if you can't beat them, join them. Okay, Russia's won. The only thing is to simply accept that. Chechens face a lot of racism in Russia, especially if they're successful, saying you must be a gangster. Well, it's a very, very sad situation, shows that evil people so often win. But there are some Chechens in Ukraine who are fighting for Ukrainian freedom and for the freedom of their own country. And dissidents elsewhere in Chechnya, Chechen dissidents around the world, are hunted down. They're murdered. We know their relatives in Chechnya are brutalized and so on. Well, I wish there was a free Chechnya, and let them determine their future. They want to be part of the Russian Federation? I wouldn't try and stop them. They want to go independent? Then that choice should also be respected.